Welcome back. This is the last chapter in the book Fat Newborns, Infants, and Kids. As I've told you, this book is available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook, and the podcast are the poor man's version of the audiobook. You can access all this at kellygregg.com. I have mentioned the maintenance diet often. You could say whatever diet you are on or feed your children is a maintenance diet. My diets are designed to use certain guidelines, and I label them maintenance diets for my convenience. I will review Diet and Health, which is a compilation of 5 smaller books, all referring to the maintenance diet. First, we have Diabetes, Prediabetes, Obesity, Management, Prevention, Treatment. This reviews how you get obesity and diabetes to start with and what to do about it. Second, the Ketogenic Diet for Beginners, the science behind your diet and why you are fat. I believe that, for the most part, this diet is the best fat-losing diet. I do not recommend this for children. It may be appropriate for some obese adolescents. It is appropriate for most adults. This is not a maintenance diet. It is a temporary diet to use till you lose the appropriate amount of fat. Then you must switch to a maintenance diet. This diet is not for long-term usage, as it is not balanced, but the small risk of the diet is worth not having the large risk of obesity-related illness if you do not lose fat. Third is fasting and autophagy for the common man. I do not advise fasting for children in this book. Remember, not eating 12 hours between the last meal of the day and the first meal of the next day is not fasting. It is historically normal, and we are designed to do this. Longer fasting is not for children, but may be useful for the health of adults. I also discuss hunger, the reason low-calorie diets fail. Fourth is the maintenance diet for the modern man. I go over the various maintenance diets and why you should eat this way. Everyone does not have the same one. Children have the same one as their parents for the most part. Fifth is bread in the modern diet. In the written history over the last 5,000 years, there is a special place for bread. I tell you what bread is and why it is special. Now, modern bread is a major factor in the induction of insulin resistance secondary to wheat processing. You used to be able to survive on bread alone. Not now. I did not discuss food supplements in any of these books. In this one, I do advise prenatal vitamins and omega-3 supplements for pregnant women. I also advise one of the maintenance diets. Pregnancy and breastfeeding is a special time, diet-wise, for women. For most of mankind's history, we did not take food supplements. That is not to say we did not realize some foods seem to ameliorate certain disease, or that some diets led to better health, but I am talking about extra vitamins and supplements we see in the health food store. I do not usually advise supplements for normal people, but that may change. The food we eat is not the same as that eaten historically. The micronutrients may have changed, the genetics may have changed, especially GMO, and the nutritional content has changed. I advised omega-3 fatty acids in pregnancy to change the omega-6-omega-3 ratio. I hope I can do that in normal people by decreasing omega-6 food and increasing omega-3 food, but I am not sure. I am awaiting further information on the subject before giving you advice. That does not mean I might not do this on my own or advise those who have some sort of autoimmune disease, such as rheumatoid arthritis, to include this in their diet. The difference in the various maintenance diets is related to carbohydrate intake. Almost everyone has heard of the Mediterranean diet. This divides your food intake into equal portions calorie-wise, of fats, protein, and carbohydrates. I agree with this somewhat, and to go into much more detail as to which fats, protein, and carbohydrates to eat. In general, I advise a little less carbohydrate intake in some people. My overall goal is to prevent type 2 diabetes and maintain good health. I would like us to return to the normal pattern of eating. First, that means the 12 hours of no caloric intake between the last meal of the day and the first. After the age of somewhere between 4 and 6, everyone should be able to do this. Not eating means no caloric intake. If you eat a late dinner, just eat a late breakfast. Metabolically speaking, almost everyone should be able to do this. The historical normal pattern of eating is to eat when you are hungry and don't eat when you are not. This worked great for most people when they were young. Nobody used to eat after sundown. Now we have artificial light 24 hours a day and eat around the clock. Once we ate twice a day, no lunch. We developed artificial lighting and thus extended the workday and the playday. A few hundred years ago, lunch became the norm. Now eating three times a day is the norm. We invented TV and food commercials, as well as the refrigerator, and now eating many times a day is the norm. Just one bonbon spikes your insulin. Every time you eat even a bite, you get a bump. Eat when you are hungry and don't eat when you are not. Children and teenagers need snacks. I discuss this in Maintenance Diet for the Modern Man. Although the historical diet was probably high carb, we cannot do that anymore because the food has changed, mainly through processing, such that it gives us a more rapid absorption of glucose. The maintenance diet will be lower carb. This level can drop depending on where you are with insulin resistance. Here's a brief review of the maintenance diet. Decrease soy dramatically. Maybe not to zero, as that would be somewhat difficult, but we need to lower omega-6 fatty acids. Decrease high fructose corn syrup to zero. No one ate any about 50 years ago. Keep your sucrose intake under control. Not zero, but not a lot. If you keep your carb intake down, this will happen naturally. Avoid a sucrose load on an empty stomach. Count carbs, not calories. Try to decrease artificial sweeteners. See the diet and health book. They do not work in losing weight and adversely affect the gut biome. Primarily use stone ground whole wheat flour. See bread in the modern diet. Here is the pregnancy maintenance diet. Everyone gets vitamins and omega-3 supplements. With normal weight and normal glucose, you eat 150 to 200 grams of carbs a day. With obesity and normal glucose, you lower that to 125 to 150 grams. With abnormal fasting or glucose tolerance test, now you're down to 75 grams. Breastfeeding, maintain the maintenance diet of 150 to 200 grams. No one gets calorie restriction. The maintenance diet for normal people has different versions which vary in carb intake. To prevent type 2 diabetes, use the normal one. If you have a history of insulin resistance, you are on the 125-gram version of the normal maintenance diet. If you have pre-diabetes, you are on the 50 to 75-gram version of the normal diet. If you are on the ketogenic diet, you are at 25 grams, or the level that maintains ketones in the urine. You then go on to 125 to 200 grams normal diet after you have lost enough fat. Therapeutic fasting is zero calories. If you eat any calories, you are just on a reduced calorie diet. Therapeutic fasting is for special circumstances, such as when you must lose 15 pounds to get into your wedding dress, or for those who may be considering bariatric surgery. See Fasting and Autophagy for the Common Man book. Remember, fasting 1 or even 2 days a week may be beneficial for health. All these maintenance diets involve the food engineer, who is the primary person in charge of feeding the family. This person decides what food to buy and how to prepare it. A difficult task, since for most people there is a certain amount of money set aside for food. The diet must be varied, as throughout history we seem to want variety in the diet. You have many different foods that require many different preparation techniques. There are different food desires of everyone in the family. You are making food for young children, teenagers, adults, and older people. The meals are usually somewhat scheduled, which means that everything has to get ready about the same time. You are responsible for figuring out how much food to prepare, what food do you have available, food safety, and food storage. There are snacks to be prepared, and always special occasions. The food engineer is not the person who decides where to go out and eat every night. The mom goes off the prenatal diet after delivery. Perhaps stays on some of it while breastfeeding. Now we are back home and feeding the whole family. It is quite possible if we had eliminated a large gestational weight gain that even the obese patients will have lower weights and less fat after breastfeeding for a year or so. If the patient goes back to the same diet she had before, we will be doing almost the same thing when she gets pregnant again. No matter what, if we have done our job right, she will know much more about diet and nutrition after the pregnancy than she knew before, and some of these patients will continue to use the knowledge they have obtained to improve their diets. For the most part, the medical profession is finished talking to them about diet. Medical providers are just not interested in talking to patients in any depth at all about it. After I retired, I worked as a clinical research coordinator, most of the time with type 2 diabetic drug studies. When I went to the investigator meetings, the speaker would always start out by saying that diet counseling and exercise was always the first treatment. I would go up afterwards and ask them what kind of diet. I got very bland answers. It became clear that they were not doing any significant counseling. The dietitians, likewise, were simply preparing menus, but few were giving information on how many grams of carbs to eat. Eventually, I concluded that type 2 diabetes is a dietary disease, and we were doing a poor job preventing this. All the research is aimed to treat the disease and lower the glucose level, not really to prevent or cure anything. I also realized the current dietary recommendations were not working. Most people who are obese do not seek advice from their healthcare provider. I do not blame them. Most start out using their common sense and try to eat less and exercise more. That seems to fail over 95% of the time in the long term. That is why the incidence of obesity is increasing, not only in the United States, but around the world. I could prevent a lot of type 2 diabetes if I could force everyone to buy and read my books. That is not going to happen, and I am competing with the other 10,000 diet books. It might be more important for me to direct my efforts at sales to healthcare providers. Almost everyone who gets prediabetes sees one, and diet therapy is the treatment at that point. If only those providers were not so cheap about buying health books. Remember, I'm a retired physician and don't give out medical advice, but I do give out good advice. However, you can figure that out on your own. I do have a lot of health information on the website, and I make several ebooks on various health topics. Eventually, I'll have books on epigenetics and cell biology, and also epigenetics and the gut biome. If I just didn't have that darn day job, I could get a lot more done.